Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to another episode of The Other Identity. I'm, of course, one of your hosts, the Great Landis, and along with me, as always, Professor Awesome. How's it going, Ben?
It's going good, man. It seems to be going really good for you. You are pumped.
It's been a good weekend. Well, by the time people are hearing that, it was a good weekend. Yeah. But welcome in, everybody. We're going to start off, as we always do, reading a review. And this one is nice, short, sweet, right to the point, Starlight Flare.
Oh, I like that name.
5 stars, fun podcast that really makes me excited to be a comic fan.
Yeah, that's the goal. We're doing what we want to do.
Thank you very much, Starlight Flare. Remember, guys, if you haven't left a review already, if we get 30 reviews before August, I have to dress up as a superhero of your choosing. You will be able to vote on a poll to see who I dress up as to go into work. And then I also made a promise. I actually, Ben, you interviewed me for
I did. I wanted to bring
one
that
of your
up.
Classes here.
I
yeah,
did. So I teach at UNLV. I teach, believe it or not, a podcasting class. The name of it, very creatively, is titled Podcasting. So I have a number of I'm fortunate that throughout the years I've made connections with a lot of people in the audio industry. So I like to bring guest speakers in to kind of lend their expertise. And I always, for the last 3 semesters at least, I finish with Robbie, because I think number one, he's really smart and really knowledgeable about this stuff, but it's also just it's a really fun kind of like final class as we're rounding the corner towards the end of the semester. And I always have a good time when you come in, and this past week was no exception.
Yep. And I promised your students that if we were to get to 40 reviews, Ben would also dress up for one of his classes. None of them have left reviews yet, so I'm very disappointed.
Well, if they're listening to this episode, because I know that we got a few new listeners out of that, because some people said they really... I, as you even remember in the class, I gave them our Zack Snyder episode to listen to, and then someone asked a question based on another episode, so we were like, well. But yes, you did say that in front of a quorum of my students, so I will hold to it. If we can get to 40, I will do a very, very casual cosplay my friend Todd Nock, who was he's a longtime artist. He's worked on X-Men and Spider-Man. He did a book called Young Justice over at DC for years and years. He dresses up. He does what he calls casual cosplay to conventions, where he dresses up as the older Peter Parker from Into the Spider-Verse, but it basically just involves
a good one.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
He basically just throws on like a Spider-Man t-shirt and a brown trench coat and does his hair a little bit, and that's it. So I would maybe something like that.
All right. Well, we'll see what ends up happening over the next few weeks. We get some more reviews in, but we have a show to do today.
Yes,
before
we
get to it, this is the last week that we're going to be doing this sort of, you know, impressions, reactions to the last Falcon Winter Soldier episode, because next week we'll be doing a full-on
episode. Yeah, I'm Falcon Winter
dedicated
Soldier.
Dedicated to it.
Yep.
So, what do you think, Ben?
Dude.
Give me your thoughts this last week.
So listen, I'm going to be...
Don't you...
I'm not going to say I didn't like it. I'm not going to say I didn't like it. That's not where I'm going. Let me speak. No, I want to give full disclosure, because I always am fully transparent with our listeners, that I was exhausted when I watched this on Friday night, and I didn't full on fall asleep. I mean, look, I am very much a dad, so falling asleep at 8:30 at night is not foreign to me. But I just want to say that I was kind of in and out. And I am really upset about it, because from all indications, this was a phenomenal episode.
The
minute it was over, my wife was like, "What did you think?" And I was like, "Oh, I was kind of in and out." And she's like, "Why?" Like, she's like, "This was the best episode." So I caught enough. I wouldn't say like I full on fell asleep, but yes, full disclosure, I was in and out of the episode. That being said, what do you have to say?
I'm ready for the end of it. That's all that I really have to say here. This is definitely – it did slow down a little bit. We got a lot more character moments here. We saw the return of Isaiah Bradley that had some such powerful scenes.
Hey, I have a did-you-know. I have a did-you-know on Isaiah Bradley.
Okay.
The guy who plays Isaiah Bradley, Carl Lumbly.
Yep.
Do you know what character who is in a show that we are currently watching he was the voice of?
I'm going to assume it's Justice League.
You're right. Who do you think he's the voice of?
Is he the voice of John Jones?
He is!
Yeah! Nailed it!
I figured, I found that out the other day because I IMDb'd him just to see what he'd done. He's done a ton of stuff, obviously.
Yeah.
And he was also, he was on the CW Supergirl show as John Jones's father, which I thought is a fun bit of casting.
Oh, yeah. All right, let me ask you this.
Yes.
What did you think of, did you feel let down? Did you feel fulfilled with the cameo?
I was 100% fulfilled with it. Like, and number one, guys, if you haven't already, go over to checkpointxp.com to read the excellent article Robbie did detailing the character who debuted. But really, they could have had Julia Louis-Dreyfus playing anybody. Uh-huh. And I would have been like, this is phenomenal. She's one of the she's one of the best actresses in the world. I adore seeing her in anything. And having her as Val was great. But again, she could have played reporter number three. And I would have been like, oh, what a nice cameo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Well, that's all that we thought about the Falcon and Winter Soldier coming up next week. Full episode on it. Be prepared for that. But today, we're talking X-Men. Ooh. We read through the X of Swords crossover event that is now completely available in its entirety on Marvel Unlimited. So get ready to hear what we thought when X-Men goes anime.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listen, we know that there's a ton of video game podcasts out there, but I guarantee you, you've never heard one like this one. Checkpoint Daily is one of the only podcasts for esports and gaming coming out every single day.
One of the only ones worth listening to, anyway.
That's absolutely true. So whether we're talking about the latest developments with who Nintendo decides to sue, or the LCS, we've got the lowdown. So make sure you check us out at Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, BPod Studios, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading The Other Identity. We appreciate you so much. And today we're bringing you an episode. We just got done reading 22 issues, 24 if you count the two prelude issues.
Did you read the prelude issues?
I did.
Good,
I read
so
the prelude
did I.
issues.
I didn't,
as well.
I didn't read the handbook. Because
no, yeah,
it's like 60 pages long.
And it's basically just like an encyclopedia.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll pass on that.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about what we thought about the X of Swords event. And full disclosure here, I actually haven't read any X-Men stuff besides House of X and Power of Ten.
And I'm a, little bit behind on mine, so I wasn't totally up to X of Swords, which, by the way, I know that when they did House of X and Powers of X, one of them was actually... Was it Powers of 10? Like the X stood for 10?
So I think so, yeah.
I wonder if the X in this is... They've now made me paranoid that this is really
this
10
is
of swords.
10 of swords?
Yeah, I have no idea. Like, I just don't know which...
You know what? They probably do that on purpose. So 10 of swords, X of swords.
Because I think there were 10 swords.
Say, though,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, not having read a whole lot there... There were some of what I usually don't like about crossovers
sure.
when I come in, and I feel like I'm missing quite a bit. There's characters that like I you know are new to me that I'm not as invested in. One of the things that I really appreciated about this crossover, though, was by the end of it, all of the players who matter, I don't feel like I have to go back to read other stuff in order to get it.
Though you might want to.
I absolutely want to.
Okay.
I absolutely want to go back and actually get caught up with the entire X-Men side of Marvel, which we're actually going to talk about that coming up later in the show. But yeah, and that's probably the best example of how crossovers should work. They shouldn't make you feel like you have to read it.
But they should encourage you.
At the end of it,
yeah.
You should definitely feel like, man, I want to so that I can really appreciate and you know, get just... I guess yeah appreciation so you can feel more appreciation.
It's an impressive feat with this story as well because there are just so many characters in it as tends to be the case with X-Men. X-Men's not a story about three people, you know? It's not even if we get like a Justice League crossover, I feel like you're probably going to get a spotlight on, you know, 3 to 5 characters. Mm-hmm. With X-Men, there's some deep cuts in here. There's a lot of mythology, a lot of Apocalypse stuff. But I agree with you. I felt like even though I do know something about X-Men, I also was not fully caught up with the Dawn of X titles, and I had no problem diving in and enjoying this crossover.
Or is it Dawn of 10?
Oh my god.
I do want to talk actually a little bit about the story without spoiling any of the big things, because, you know, I hope that when people listen to this, it makes them want to go out and you know, jump into it, dive into it. And if you do, please join our Discord over at checkpointxp.com. You can also find the link over on our Twitter. Join the comics section of our Discord and engage with us. Let us know
comics
what you
and stuff. Mm-hmm. For some reason, we get the stuff part in in our channel.
Well, movies, you know, TV shows as well. The best way that I can describe what exactly is X of Swords, Ten of Swords is, you know, once I got into it, I'm like, oh, okay, this is basically the anime tournament arc of X-Men. And Norris from Checkpoint on Camus said, yeah, basically. It is. And one of the things from the beginning that I wasn't sure, I did have to go and actually do a little bit of Wikipedia reading just to make sure I was on the right
page. Which I don't think is the worst thing in the world.
No, not necessarily. And it wasn't a lot of it either. I got caught up pretty quick. I think it's because I was fearful that I was missing out on more than I thought I was.
Right.
And I wasn't really. No. So essentially Krakoa, which is the new island nation that the X-Men, that the mutants inhabit since Hox Pox. It turns out that it was once, there were two... It was once a bigger island.
Got split into two.
A long, long time ago.
And by the way, the names of the islands are one of my favorite things about this, just because it's so ridiculous. Like, they're all
they're all the same letters.
Exactly. They just rearrange the letters to do the big island, and then, like, this, the other island is called, like, Araki, as opposed to Krakoa. Yep. It all sounds the same, and it's wonderful.
Yep, and the island that was lost is essentially the denizens of them, which is led by Annihilation, not to be confused with Annihilus, by the way.
Or Apocalypse.
Or Apocalypse. wants to come and destroy Krakoa, but they have to go through Otherworld, which is Otherworld something new?
No, Otherworld's been around since the 80s. It's an old Captain Britain thing, as you probably gathered.
Yeah, the whole Britain Corps thing was another part that... probably if I had read more of X-Men so far, I'd be a little more familiar with it. But that was another part.
You know
that,
what?
For me,
admittedly,
was a little flimsy.
Yeah, admittedly, I am not super versed in the Captain Britain comics. In part because they were actually published mostly in Britain. They've been reprinted in the States, and I know some of them are on Marvel Unlimited. But I've just never gotten to a lot of them, so I have like a cursory understanding. But that I agree, that was probably the most complicated part that I didn't fully. Get the Saturnine, Otherworld, Jamie Braddock, all that stuff. That was a lot, but it wasn't crippling. It was just a lot.
Yes, those from Amenth or Araki or whatever the evil, quote unquote, evil side was, had to go through Otherworld in Saturnine, who is basically a godlike being in this place, was like, no, we're not gonna play this game. Instead, we're gonna have a tournament. Each side has to collect 10 swords. And then we're going to have a tournament. And from there, it goes very Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
There's not very many matches in the tournament that's just straight up fight each
other.
No,
and I love that.
Yeah. It was weird at first because the first non-sword fighty thing was literally just two characters getting married and they both got points.
Oh, that was awesome. I love that.
It was. But overall, yes, it was very good. And obviously, you know, more stuff happens and it comes to a logical conclusion.
What I liked about this the most is this is going to sound weird, but it's the same thing that I like about when we read Blackest Night. Because on the surface, even though Blackest Night has a million characters in it and all these Green Lanterns and different colors and all this other stuff, at the heart, it is a story about zombies come back as bad guys, good guys fight them. Like, very simple premise. And this, even though there are a million different crazy names of characters and swords and locales and everything, it's like you said, at the heart of it, it's the anime tournament. It's like, it's a very easy concept to wrap your head around. And once you can wrap your head around that central concept, like, oh, cool, I'm going to read a story about two sides fighting in a tournament, doing all these different things. Like, everything else kind of flows naturally from that. That's my opinion, at least.
Yeah, I think for me, what I liked most about this was there were very few of what people consider the core X-Men.
No, yeah.
That starred in this.
Really, right? Just Wolverine. Obviously, and Storm.
There's some Wolverine, there's some Storm.
Yeah.
I loved getting to know, not necessarily newer mutants, but at least mutants that
ones
I
you're
wasn't
not familiar with. Yeah.
Young Cable is pretty interesting.
He's fun, yeah.
Love Magic. She is quickly
Magic
becoming
is the
one
best.
Of my... one of my favorite characters.
This current take on Matt, because I know we read her a little bit in Empire as well, but I think
yes.
like this current yep. take on Magic, I remember like when she was initially around, you know, she was Colossus's younger sister. She was mm-hmm. a little bit of like a rebel, but the fact that she's just like the badass of Krakoa, I think is yep. tremendous. And she's a great character.
Yep.
Cypher's stuff, awesome. Cypher's
has
awesome.
Been really great as well. And honestly, Apocalypse. I,
yeah.
I enjoyed Apocalypse more, it was
great.
And this goes to just to what Hickman is like the main writer behind this. Is that right?
Yeah,
is that,
Hickman's like the architect, but I do got to say, like, a lot of this, the heavy lifting here, it felt like was done by Teenie Howard, who is the writer mm-hmm. of Excalibur. A lot of the books were. I mean, look, there are a lot of writers involved. Jerry Dunn.
Right. So, what I wanted to highlight yeah. specifically is how, you know, they've been able to bring all of the mutants together now, and Apocalypse, who's, you know, traditionally we know him as a villain.
Right.
And I can't wait to read more and see his transition to this point. And I wouldn't say that he's not a villain any. I don't know. It's so weird how to put it, because he's still Apocalypse,
right?
I don't feel like they've changed his character in any way, but just to see the evolution that he goes through, even just within this crossover, it's great. It's so interesting and so amazing.
Yeah, I do want to say, just following up on the writer's point, one of the things that I thought was really cool was in noting, because, you know, whenever I read through these, I always do like little credits when I'm tweeting or putting
yes.
on my Instagram. And what I noticed was the writers of each book kind of swapped books a little bit. So like Jerry Duggan
really?
Was, yeah, Jerry Duggan was sometimes writing books he's not on, or Teenie Howard or Leah Williams or... the whole crew, it feels like really like the X-Men creative team were doing this as a team and as a handoff thing where, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes there were co-writers. I know Benjamin Percy co-wrote with Jerry Duggan
so
on
like
some stuff.
Behind the scenes, you know, this might be your book,
yeah.
but, you know, we think that so-and-so, you know, would,
might have
you know,
a valuable perspective. Yeah. So,
yeah
it was good. So that was really cool. And it spoke to how well organized the X-Men books, which are, I know they're under the domain of an old colleague of mine, Jordan White, who's the editor. They're really well coordinated, just in the sense that like you have like eight writers who are basically taking equal stakes in handing off a story this complex. And it never felt like there was no issue. I will say like Hellions came the closest, but there was no issue that felt like it didn't belong with the rest mm-hmm. of the story. Like it all felt
very
organic.
Because they
had two
issues in there and we definitely got confused as to how they ended the first one,
right.
but the way that the second one came in made total sense, and actually, Mr. Sinister is another. I love what they've done with his character. It's such a departure from what I remember from the animated series,
yeah.
but he's still so Mr. Sinister.
Well, to your point, it's like there aren't really all the traditional X-Men villains are not really villains anymore, because it feels mm-hmm. like all the mutants are on the same side.
You know what? You know what? I think it's actually a good segue.
I was
going
to say.
I think we'll continue to talk about X of Swords, but you know, I wanted to talk about the sort of new X-Men format we have here, and they're definitely going to play, you know, right into each other. So stick around, guys. We'll be right back and kind of highlight what exactly has been done with the X-Men that I don't know that this has been done in comics before. Maybe Green Lanterns.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll talk about it. Stay tuned.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The esports world continues to grow, and that includes a massive emerging collegiate space. There's going to be one place where you can come and get the latest news for college esports, and that's Checkpoint on Campus, the voice of college esports. So whether it be the latest in college COD or more, make sure you check out Tech Point on Campus on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, BPod Studios, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. Talking X-Men today, specifically looking at the crossover X of Swords, Ten of Swords.
Whatever.
Who knows? Yeah. Who knows? Whatever. So, you know, after having read this crossover, I had mentioned that I really want to go back now and start to read through the rest of the X-Men books.
Right.
But, you know, like it was in say, the Ultimate Timeline, there wasn't just the X-Men books. I feel like the X-Men side of Marvel is just as big as the rest of Marvel is.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just goes towards Hickman and his team. This huge cadre of writers have done such an amazing job of giving the X-Men their own place. And I know we've talked off recording before of, you know, how some people think that it's not the X-Men anymore because, you know, they're not in that traditional place where, like, the world's like, oh, the mutant problem.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like that they've transcended that and mutants themselves now are in a better place overall. They have their own nation. You know, they found their own sort of spot into the world here.
Right.
And, you know, talking specifically about the villains, everyone has a place now in Krakoa. Even the play, you know, even those who we traditionally think of as the villains. To me now, they're less villains and more just into sort of protagonist and antagonistic roles.
That's a good way to put it.
Yep. Mr. Sinister aside, he's found a way to still be pretty villainous.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the villains are still doing shady stuff, but the difference is it's almost like the interesting thing for me about X-Men, and X-Men, full disclosure, is my favorite comic franchise of all time. I loved it when I was a kid, and it's always been near and dear to me. But one of the things I've always liked about X-Men is that they're quote-unquote bad guys. Think about Magneto, Apocalypse, even Sinister to a lesser degree. They were always working towards the same goal, in some senses, as the X-Men. Yeah, like, at the end of the day, they all want mutants to be okay. Like, Magneto is not trying to conquer the world because he wants to get rich. He's doing it because he wants to safeguard mutants. And you could say much the same about Apocalypse. They just happen to – their means to the ends are completely different and often villainous. With this iteration of X-Men, it feels like, all right, now we're all really on the same team. Like, we're all working towards the betterment of mutant kind, and we're all working towards basically establishing this nation and then protecting this nation. We just, again, they have different ways of going about things. The way Professor X wants to do something is not going to be the same way that Sinister wants to do something. But the kind of cool thing is they're forced to sit in a room together and kind of hash out their differences now, whereas before it was just like, all right, well, we're going to fight each other. And now it's very interesting.
Yeah, it's both, I think, solved not a problem, but it's definitely solved, I think, a hindrance that the concept of the X-Men had in just having a single book. You know, we talk about how, like, you know, some heroes like Superman and Batman have like 5 books each, and they're like a single character. You know, the X-Men are an entire race, essentially.
Yeah.
And, you know, and for years we've expected a single book to contain that. It only makes sense that they get like their sort of own little corner in the universe to start to explore that and to have all these different books now.
Yep.
And, you know, it's great to see how all those different things cross over. You know, you see the different characters intertwining here and there. And I think on the DC side, the closest thing you have to it is the Green Lanterns, you know, who have their their own sort of, you know, little pocket as well. But even compared to the X-Men, you know, I think that the X-Men and mutants dwarf them in comparison.
Oh, for sure. Well, I think
Go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to say, like, even with Green Lantern, it's like, even though Green Lantern has, you know, in theory, thousands and thousands of characters, you've got the number one, Hal Jordan's always going to be 1A as long as he's around. And then you've got, you know, the other Earth Green Lantern. So it's really like 3 or 4 lead characters and then a bunch of supporting. With X-Men, there are dozens of, and we saw this in X of Swords, there are dozens of potential leads who can, you know, kind of pick it up. Like, Professor X is ostensibly the head of everything that's going on, but Cyclops is important, Storm's important, Kitty Pryde is important. Like, they're all stars in a way that is a little bit different than Green Lantern. And I think that comes from the fact that Green Lantern started out as a solo book mm-hmm. and evolved into what it is, whereas X-Men has always been a team book.
Yeah, the other thing to keep in mind, too, is that the X-Men are no longer a team,
right?
Again, they're an entire nation, so you need more than just, you know, the four dudes from Earth, you know, that Green Lanterns focus on, right?
Yeah.
After reading, and look, I loved House of Ten, Power of Ten, X, what, you know, whatever. And I think the only reason that I didn't continue on was just because, you know, again, there's so many books now within the X-Men franchise, the X-Men pocket, that it was just, it was daunting.
Yeah,
and I haven't obviously done myself any favors because now there's even more to read.
Yeah.
Two events now. Basically, everything that I've read since the Hox Pox reboot, I don't know what you want to call it, has been phenomenal, and I personally cannot recommend the X-Men stuff enough.
Yeah, I mean, this is what it feels like from my youth when I was growing up in the 90s. There was always like six or seven X-Men books. Like, this was not, because you always had like two X-Men books, X-Factor, X-Force, Excalibur, Wolverine, Cable, you know, the works. So this is not unusual to me. I think it makes, this is the kind of X-Men that makes sense to me, where it's this huge epic saga spanning over like half a dozen to a dozen books. That's mm-hmm. not weird. I know there are times in the past of the X-Men where it's been contained to one or two books. That's not what I'm used to. So I'm cool with this approach, but my kind of final thing I'll say about it is I look at, there are two ways to do the X-Men. Right. And this is how it's been ever since Chris Claremont wrote it in the 70s and 80s. You can either kind of play the hits, which is like do a Sentinel story, do a Magneto story, do an Apocalypse story, and kind of just do your own version of the stuff that's already been done, which is fine. There's been some really good stories that have come out of that. But you can also do what Jonathan Hickman and his colleagues are doing, which is try to tell something completely different. And you're going to, the risk you run there is you're going to alienate some of the core fans who see X-Men as being very one thing. But mm-hmm. I think of it the same as when Grant Morrison was writing X-Men in the early 2000s and did something quite similar where he did a new take, and it wasn't just here's an update of old stories. And some people hated it. Some people loved it. But I think that's what you have to do with X-Men. I think X-Men's not doing the job if it's not pushing boundaries and telling new stories and not just retreading the past.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that what they're doing with the X-Men universe right now is definitely the best that I've ever seen. It's the best that I've ever read across all sorts of media, whether we're talking about the cartoon, which, you know, started me on my path, you know, towards superhero and comics, or the movies. If you're not reading this run of X-Men in some form or fashion, you are absolutely missing out on it. That's going to be it for it, though, today. Guys, just a few reminders here. First, if your local favorite radio station isn't running the Checkpoint XP National Radio Show, well, you can get more of me. You can get it on demand wherever you find your podcasts. Just look for Checkpoint XP on demand. Next week, it is going to be all the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, guys. So look forward to that. If you have any hot takes that you would like us to consider, please think about either hitting us up on Twitter, either at Checkpoint XP, Robbie_Landis CP, or BenJMORSE, or jumping into the Discord and letting us know. We would love to read some of your comments on the air if you get them to us. Otherwise, go and leave us some reviews, guys, and we'll see you next time. Same other identity time, same other identity channel.
See ya.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.